At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Today's episode... Wait, that's what? Not how we start the
what?
Podcast.
What
am I doing?
hang on.
I
you want to know something really bad?
What?
Because this is where I record sponsor segments. So I started saying that today's video is sponsored by.
Oh,
my God. I am a mess. Okay. Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. That's what our moms tell people when we are really dumb. And we schedule the podcast for an hour early. And then we start the podcast eating a sausage burrito while accidentally introducing a sponsored video, which this is not because we operate at a complete and total loss. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. You can speak for yourself because I think most of those points you just made were on you there. But we can hash that out. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, maybe a little bit less success this week than others, judging by how things have gone so far, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way. Maybe. Laugh at ourselves.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm right in saying that the laughs that people have are mostly at our and specifically my expense. Not to say that we're funny, just that we're at times remarkably dumb and can't hold anything together. And people think that I'm drunk. I'm not. COVID brain, hot mess. Noah throwing shame. I can't believe this. This is a terrible, terrible development. Look, if I may have the chance to explain myself, you guys. This weekend, I had a ton of fun filming a video. Surprise, I know. But it's been a very chaotic couple of days. I just got home about 3 hours ago even, and I've just been sort of wildly running around trying to fix another video, trying to catch up on today's video and make sure, you know, check in on comments and stuff. Also started importing stuff from the video that I filmed this weekend. I'm tired, man. I don't know what's going on anymore.
You know, I've definitely had some days like that where I'm just like totally out of it, and like I don't know. I feel that. I'll give you a pass. You're very busy.
Thank you. Busy man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Busy man. Not busy with anything like fancy. Not to be like, oh, you know, I'm important, I'm busy. No, I'm just busy being dumb. So like I'll take that. But you know, here we are. We made it. And I'm honestly really happy to see that so many people enjoyed the Japan video. That really warms my heart, you know?
Yeah.
It's warm in there, my heart. It's, what's the human body temperature? 98.6?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
My heart's pulling a straight 200 right now. It's medically frightening how hot and warm my heart is because of all of the love on the Japan video.
You should get that checked out.
It's my doctor, my Apple Watch has been going crazy. My doctor has been calling me saying, Luke, we got to get you to the ER. This is life or death. But I'm just here because of the podcast.
That actually might explain why you're so frazzled right now. Your heart is overheating. It's like the equivalent of an Intel MacBook Pro overheating. And what happens when the computer overheats? It throttles.
Absolutely. I'm thermal throttling. I have the Core i9 heart, folks, and you guys are the Cinebench to my Core i9 heart. I'm going crazy over here, right? I'm running at full speed.
That sounds like that good, right? Such a corny Valentine. Like, you know, there's like super corny Valentines on purpose. Like, that'd be such a good one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you God. Guys are the Cinebench to my Intel Core i9. That's a good saying. I'm going to put that on merch. Just kidding. I'm not actually talented enough. If I were a good YouTuber, I would absolutely, you know, have that all planned out. And I would have marketable plushies and, you know, all of this stuff. But I don't know how to do anything or, you know. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you on our loss leading podcast, Dark Mode. So that's evidence enough.
Yeah, we're not allowed to make money on this show.
It's almost illegal. Almost.
Almost.
But you know what's really interesting, actually? I've been very curious about the Japan Tech video. Because, I mean, obviously, it was a ton of fun, right? I would have done that regardless. The fact that there was a video of it is almost circumstantial, right? It's a bonus. But, so the video has been one of the best received videos that I've posted. The amount of comments and likes, the engagement is crazy. And yet, the YouTube algorithm does not seem to be super keen on it. It's weird because every time I do these unusual videos, this is the kind of thing that happens. The people that watch it love it. The average view duration, for reference, on tech videos, tech channels that upload, you know, 10 to 15 or so minute videos, usually your average view duration is around 5 minutes. That's where people tend to target. The average view duration on that video is 9 minutes and 25 seconds. That's really, really, really good. I think that's more than half the video.
It's pretty good.
That video. Yeah. No, that's about half the video. That's substantial. And yet, it's a stone cold 9 out of 10 in terms of video performance.
Huh. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it happens. I want to build content that people enjoy, and I ideally want to expand my audience, and I'm not going to do that just by, you know, talking about the M2 and making up problems with it so that I can be mad about it. You know, that's only good for so much, and then you kind of run out of goodwill in the community, and that's no fun.
Yeah, I think these videos are like it, like I guess it's maybe it's kind of obvious, or maybe this is just a theory, but I guess like the people that are watching your videos like this because it's something different. It's obviously, you know, still closely related to tech. And, you know, you've got Sam in there. You know, people who watch your videos know Sam. And you've got the Tokyo Lens guy, right, Norm, in there mm-hmm. as well, which is very cool. And it's all tech stuff. So I feel like the people that like you would like that video because it's more tech stuff, but it's different. And, you know, it's got you mm-hmm. in it, and you're doing your thing. But I guess, like, the algorithm just thinks that it's too different from your normal stuff, so it doesn't want to, like, promote it, which is really, you know, a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I would wager that on any given video launch day, there are probably about 20,000 people who will watch it pretty much regardless. As even if it's, like, really out there, or just unusual. There are about 20,000 people that will watch that video. I'd say there's also about 60,000 people. I'll call them my swing voters.
Mm-hmm.
My swing voters are about 60,000 people. And on launch day, depending on the title and thumbnail, almost completely independent of content, but depending on the title and thumbnail, they will be like, aha, that one I'll watch. Or they'll be like, talk about a MacBook guy, all right? I want to see stuff about a MacBook. I don't want to see this content about you traveling thousands of miles to go and explore some vintage retro technology in a foreign country where things are labeled differently and completely different to my own life. I have no interest in that, you know? Talk about the M2 Max thermal throttling, and then you got my attention. So there's some swing voters out there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
fair.
That's what they call them.
The swing voters, yeah.
Yeah.
And fair warning, guys. This year is the year. God, it's hot in here. Hang on. The air conditioning is on, and the heating is on, and it's loud, it's ruining my audio, and I'm too hot. I'll be right back.
I'm jealous of you, because it's really cold in my house right now. It's cold in my house, but my roommates like when it's cold, so I'm not going to turn up the heat. I'm just going to be cold. What's going on in the chat?
I'm back.
You're back.
Okay. So nice and toasty, just how you like it here and not there.
Yeah, we should trade climates.
I feel like, in general, you might not like that.
In general?
It is quite cold here. It's 48 degrees here. What is it where you are?
It's like the same, honestly. It's been, the highest day was like 50.
Get wrecked. Yeah, it was 56 here earlier.
That's
so
better.
Get pranked.
That's better than here for right now.
Damn. Did you see? Whoa, hello, burrito. Did you see that it snowed in LA?
I did hear about that. It's pretty crazy.
Weird. Very bad. Planet, not. This one's a total write off. Do we have insurance claim or something? Because this one's toast.
I don't know, man. It can't be global warming if things are cold, right?
There you go. Debunked. That's how it works.
Yeah, I feel like we've had that discussion before. I think that one's been put to rest.
That's fair. What was I saying? Oh yeah. I was gonna tell you guys that the video that you have seen today of me in Japan buying this,
mm-hmm,
which did make it all the way back to the US, thousands of miles away, it kind of got me on a vintage kick.
You could say that.
It's something that I've always been interested in, and I've talked about, you know, the good old days of Apple and like retrospectives. I've talked about some PowerPC stuff. I haven't really gotten into this old. And well, ever since buying this Macintosh Plus in Japan, it has sent me down a bit of a rabbit hole. And I knew that I was down the rabbit hole when I ordered a modern replacement part for a vintage electronic that you will see. And the website was rabbitholecomputing.com. And I was like, oh God, they clocked me real fast.
Yeah, it's a little on the nose there with the name.
Yeah, they absolutely knew what they were doing with that tagline.
Yeah.
So, honestly, fair enough. You know, I deserve that. But I think with that package now arriving, I can get to work on the video that I'm going to do with this Macintosh Plus, because this thing is honestly superb. I love it. Look at it. This is so cool. Steve Jobs' design here with the original Macintosh. The Macintosh Plus is basically unchanged from the 128K design from 1984. There are several other iterations with which Noah is familiar.
I am. I don't want to spoil anything, but I am.
Yeah. So there's other versions that are available, but this Macintosh Plus is basically the same design as the original 128K. And there's some limitations to it. As you guys saw in Japan, it powered on. and it went to the flashing folder icon. And that indicates that there's no OS. Now, the reason that there's no OS is because a Macintosh Plus has no storage on it. It has, I think this one, I don't know how much RAM this one has. I have no idea. Huh. I think it's probably 3/4 of a meg, half a meg, maybe a meg. I know there was a Macintosh Plus 1 megabyte, and this isn't it, so maybe it's not 1 megabyte. But that's it. That's all you got. You're basically just working with a floppy drive, and I am sorry to say, the floppy drive does not work.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, there is a solution to it, which I will be demonstrating hopefully quite soon. I think I'm able to work on that video soon before yet more traveling takes place. But, oh man, the vintage stuff has just gotten me down this rabbit hole. I'm hopelessly lost.
Yeah, I guess maybe I didn't realize that was the start. The Macintosh Plus in Japan was the start of this little saga here. But I've definitely been along the ride for a lot of the other stuff that's going to come. And it has been very interesting.
I will give you guys another preview of what is to come. I kind of teased this on Twitter, but this is one that I'm so excited for. This, and by the way, it's so hard for me to keep secrets because I've got a lot of videos that have sort of spawned out of this Japan tech hunting video that I can't wait to show you guys. But one of them is a pipe dream of mine.
Oh yeah.
That's all I'll show for now. But that has been, I've wanted one of those for over a decade. For those listening and who can't see what I just showed, it's a Macintosh portable, and I have wanted one since I found out that it existed, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. I need one of those. It took me until now, but I do finally have one, and I'm so excited to show you guys. I think I'm going to try to get 2 videos out of the thing because it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, and it's in super great condition because that one, I hadn't seen the Macintosh Plus, which also looked like it was in amazing condition. And the portable, yeah. I did see, and that was in such good condition. So that's really cool.
No, the portable is, I mean, it's not even yellowed. That's the crazy thing, because when you get these old Macs, I mean, if they sit in the sun, they just start to become very, very yellow and crusty. The Macintosh Plus that I have does have a little bit of it, but it's not very much. The Macintosh portable, which was originally less beige than the desktop Macs were, so this one is basically not yellowed at all. It's not, there's no cracks, there's no chips, like it's really, really, really nice.
Yeah, that's super awesome. Super awesome.
It's also funny that they mentioned this. I guess, you know, there's only a couple people here. I'll spoil. Where do you think I was this weekend, huh? what do you think got me all frazzled today, huh? Traveling? Have a Macintosh portable? You can put 2 and 2 together.
Yeah.
I also wanted to address this comment here. Ethan asks, which computers are you missing, Luke? Quite a lot, but the only other, I think at some point, a pipe dream of mine is I want an original 128K Macintosh.
Are those like super rare?
They're not. It's not that crazy. I've been waiting to try to find one that's like really good. I mean, for reference, you can find some of these things for a couple hundred dollars. It's not impossible. They're not, you know, insane, but I've been looking for this like perfect storm because I want to get one in box with its original like software and all the discs. Because the way I look at it is like, obviously there's going to be video on the Macintosh plus a lot of other retro stuff coming to the channel. So if I'm going to buy a 128K, which is very, very similar to a Macintosh plus, and I'm going to have this, you know, Luke Miani Museum of Retro Apple Tech, my thought there is I should probably have something a little bit more special, a little bit more complete for a 128K so that I can make a video. And, you know, I would love to do a video where I unbox and really go through as original and complete as possible a 128K.
Yeah, that would be really cool. If you can find, I'm sure that would be, maybe it'd be hard to find, probably kind of expensive, but like, I feel like that's worth it. If you're getting one of those, you got to get it with like a really nice quality one.
Absolutely. No, I'm just sort of waiting for the right combination of, you know, price and not being absolutely annihilated in shipping costs. Cause sometimes it's like, you know, $9,000 billion to get one of these things shipped. It's a whole thing. But this was actually a very interesting question. What did California Border Patrol say when you declared that? So I didn't declare the Macintosh Plus. Nobody said anything when I brought it through customs in or exit customs in Japan. I brought it through customs in the U.S. It wasn't very expensive. I don't even know if it reached the threshold for where you would have to declare, and it might not even have been duty free. So I'm not sure. I don't even know how it works. But I got a lot of comments, I will tell you, walking through many airports with a Macintosh Plus, because I brought it as carry-on. I didn't check it or anything. It just, it came on the plane with me and it was in the overhead compartment. And there were a lot of weird looks.
Well, I won't say anything more than this, but I'll say that is in my immediate future. And I'm glad to hear that it worked out for you, because I'm a little bit nervous about going through security with one of those, but we'll see what happens, I guess.
Well, wait, but why?
I don't know. It's like such a weird thing. Like, they're not going to like, I mean, I guess they just put it through the x-ray and then they,
it goes on the conveyor belt. It goes through the x-ray. Yeah. I was worried that the x-ray, I was like, is the x-ray going to like interfere with something? These things have very wacky, goofy power supplies. And I don't know, but it didn't seem to do anything bad. It's not a vegetable or a drug. It's fine, says John.
That's the threshold right there. That's all they check.
Exactly.
It's like 20 questions.
I will say, though, bringing back the Macintosh Portable was a bit of a nightmare.
Really?
Oh, I had the full like bomb testing. Like they pulled me aside to a special room and they did like the full pat down. He's like, I'm going to use the back of my hands and I'm going to slide in a vertical motion across your groin, like the whole thing. They had like seven TSA agents, officers, whatever they are, like inspecting it. And they, you know, they did the bomb swab and then it went through the machine and the machine was not giving a result. It was like erroring out. And I was like, oh God, what does this mean for my chances of making this flight? And then they called over like the boss.
Oh geez.
Like the TSA big boss lady. Uh-huh. And she came over And they were like, we don't know what this thing is. We don't know what to do with it. And I was like, it's a laptop. And I had said that it was a laptop. So I don't know why they were like, what do we do? What is this thing? And she was like, yeah, what is it? And I just opened it up. I'm like, it's the laptop, the original Apple laptop. And she was like, oh, okay, off you go. And then I went.
I mean, not bad. It looks a little suspicious. Did this happen at like 6 a.m.? Was it that flight?
I think it very well was, yeah.
That's kind of rough.
Yeah, it was.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah. No, it was terrible. It was awful. I wanted to jump.
Oh, geez. Well, it's a good thing that it made it through. You know what? If that thing can make it through after all that, then I'm not worried about the whatever other Mac I may or may not be bringing somewhere.
Maybe, perhaps.
Maybe. Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. No, yeah. I mean, the portable is definitely... I don't know. I mean, it's in a briefcase. It's got, like, these very weird... They're not lithium ion batteries. They're like nickel metal hydride. They're like wacky, weird batteries. Oh. There's like, you know, the black and the red wire. Like, I can understand why you'd be a little bit sus. But the regular, the Macintosh Plus, it's just like, you know, people see it, they recognize it, right? This is one of the first really iconic pieces of technology. I mean, I'm trying to think of anything from before 1984 that would be that instantly recognizable as like the general population going, I know exactly what that is.
Yeah, I feel like people would, like non-tech people, I feel like they would at least like recognize it. Or like you see the rainbow Apple logo on there, it says Macintosh on it. They're going to recognize it. They're going to know. And it's a cute, it's like just a little, exactly. Just like a little guy, you know, it's not like, you know, the portables, like that's a little scary. You got the briefcase, you know, it folds up. It's got that big old thing in the back. It's like, what's hiding in there? We don't know what's in there. But you Absolutely. Look at this, it's just a little guy.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
It's very adorable. Yeah. It's something that I think everyone can get behind. And they'll be like, oh, I remember those from when I was young or not even born yet or old. If they're really old.
Yeah, it's not one of those.
I think people were pointing out like maybe old Apple stuff and Atari stuff is kind of similar. I think if you were to bring like old Nintendo stuff, people would probably be like, "Oh, I know what that is. That's cute. That's nice." But I'm not sure, like, in terms of anything older than the original Macintosh, I really don't know what piece of technology would be as iconic.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's like the Macintosh, there's like the NES was, you know, classic, but like earlier than that, like what I don't know if there's like a computer video game kind of thing that people would recognize necessarily. I don't know.
That's true. Maybe an NES. I think that could count. But as far as I know, okay, so in Japan, the NES came out in July 1983. In North America, it wasn't until 1985. And in the end, in Japan, it was called the Famicom,
right?
Not the
and it looked different.
Not the NES. Yeah, there, we saw a bunch of. I don't know if you saw in the Japan video, but we found a bunch, loads of Famicoms.
Oh, nice!
With a different design for Japan.
Nice.
Those are really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's a good example. But what is there anything even older than that? I don't think there is.
Someone said Apple II. I don't know how universally recognizable that would be. Maybe. I don't know.
Somebody said the Atari 2600.
People.
That one.
You know what it is. Like, if someone said Atari 2600, you recognize it. But if you saw someone carrying it around, like, what does that even look like? Let's see.
Yeah. I think I think it is generic looking enough that people would potentially mistake this for like a very retro looking like speaker or like a sound system. I don't know that people would look at that and go Atari.
Yeah, like unless you know, like we're talking about like the general public here kind of thing.
Yeah.
I Someone said PS5.
Atari 2600 now.
PS5.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm talking vintage here, folks. I'm not talking about PS5 is brand new. Come on.
Someone said Walkman. When was the Walkman?
Oh, that's a good one. I think that would have been later, though, right? No, it launched July 1979.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know.
I feel like it was popular, more popular with like CDs than it would have been with like cassettes.
Yeah, I feel like this is the kind of thing, like if someone brought this, it would probably just be in their bag. Like the Macintosh is too big, so you got to like carry it. I feel like the Walkman would kind of just go in your bag.
That's very true, yeah. You definitely wouldn't need to like lug it all the way through security.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't pat you down over a Walkman.
I would hope. I would really hope.
Unless you liked it. Did you like this part? Did you like that?
No.
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 No. Not at 6 a.m.
I was like off to the side and all the people are going by watching thinking, what did this guy do wrong? You know, they're thinking, does this guy have heroin needles? Like, what's he doing?
Yeah, you're on a list somewhere. Now you're on a list.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. They're watching me probably now.
They're probably watching this show right now.
They are. I mean, I'm pretty sure John here, that's big, big FBI energy. Cool guy 5555551. Absolutely. Absolutely a fed.
Look at the picture, the profile picture for this cool guy, right?
It's got looks like an FBI agent.
Oh yeah, with the sunglasses.
Easily, they're all around us. Ooh, wait a minute. Commodore 64 might be. I think the more I think about it, though, the more I don't know that I would necessarily expect the majority of people to recognize the Commodore 64 if they saw it.
I mean, it has, like, if you see the logo, I just looked it up. If you see the logo on it, then you might, but it just looks like a really old keyboard otherwise. I don't know if the majority of people would recognize it. I don't think so.
I think no. I think the Macintosh is the oldest, like, really, like, in the public psyche, pop culture piece of tech.
I think that's a fair guess, fair assumption.
Oh, man. You guys, I really hope that everyone finds retro stuff as interesting as I do, because we're diving in pretty deep in the next couple weeks. Noah's Closet can attest to how deep we're diving.
Yes, there's some good stuff that is coming up.
It's going to be a lot of fun. But I really shouldn't be allowed on eBay anymore, because I'm just like going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole.
I think you should. I want to just say this, because I didn't. We had this discussion, like, I guess when you were here, but you don't have the eBay app on your phone, and I thought that was so funny.
That's intentional.
But you should, yeah, you should mention that, because I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, I very intentionally don't have the eBay app on my phone because I know that if I did, all of my monies would go away.
Yeah, we were looking, like we were doing something, and I saw you had the eBay mobile website on your phone, and I was like, why are you not using the app? And then you explain, you're like, oh, if I had the app, I would be buying stuff all the time. I just, that's a good little bit of self-control right there. I thought that was pretty good.
I mean, it's a very, very low bar because the problem is, and eBay, goddammit, they know what they're doing, because every time I'm like, okay, I tweeted about this the other day. I bought a PowerBook 100, right? That I think is a really fascinating piece of tech, and I'm hoping to make a video on it. However, as soon as I bought that, all of a sudden, out of the woodwork, come all of these fascinating pieces of history. It's like, hey, you might like this. And I'm like, God damn it, I very well do. Yep, I like that. Boom, add to cart. And then it's like, hey, bro, I know you just bought a PowerBook 100 and a PowerBook 180C and a PowerBook 165. But what if I told you there's a PowerBook 145B for $40?
Can't say no to that.
What am I going to do, not buy that? What am I, insane? Of course I'm going to get that.
I mean,
so,
you are.
So yeah, I got another PowerBook.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
They do. Make no mistake, they do. Damn it. They keep catching me.
Well, at least you get content out of it. It's worth something.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope the people like them, because I mean, I got too much to even make content on, unfortunately. I got doubles, okay, Noah? I got doubles of the PowerBook.
Yeah. Triples of the Macintosh.
What would I even do with doubles? Triples of the Macintosh. More than triples of the Macintosh.
Well, you know it's safe if you got triples.
Exactly, yeah. No, absolutely. But I have a wife. tell him, Noah. Tell him I have a wife.
He has a wife.
And she's beautiful, but she's dying. this is a hard cut reference. I'm curious to see if people get this reference. I'm sure people will.
I think so.
They better. I'm going to be really mad, Noah, if nobody in the chat gets that reference at all. But I am happy to see that it seems like people are looking forward to some retro stuff. So that's definitely going to be exciting. I'm hoping that I'll get some of my swing voters in for that stuff too, you know?
I think you will. I think it's a good campaign. It's a good platform to run on. Retro content. Who can say no?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I feel like retro content is one of those things that doesn't really offend anyone, because everyone likes to go back and be like, "Aw, look at the little computers. Aw, they're so nice."
Yeah.
And then if I show them, then it means that you don't have to buy them. So I'm actually doing you a favor.
This is like a public service. This should be like taxpayer funded, honestly.
It should. Absolutely. And it's also public service because in my doing this, I rope Noah in as well. So I know, Noah, you're now interested in the desktops. So it's only a matter of time before I get you interested in old PowerBooks.
Oh boy. You do rope me into some of these things.
I do.
You know, another thing that
you
roped me into.
But you know
what?
You're a good sport.
I am. And I think maybe now we can give a quick update about that that iPad, the Tiger Direct thing, because apparently we forgot to do that. So
oh, yeah.
Another thing you roped me into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did rope Noah into that. I actually had placed an order for two of those PowerBooks. Not PowerBooks, iPads. And unfortunately, I guess it's not really a surprise, but they did get canceled.
Yeah, so this was like a couple weeks ago. This was a couple weeks ago at this point that Tiger Direct had those, like, they had a couple of things listed at like really, really good prices. Luke and I both bought iPads. Luke, you bought like one, and then you told me about it, and then you bought another one, And then you convinced me to buy one. And then they canceled them, so it didn't even matter at the end. But for a couple of days, it was very exciting.
They were probably just skimming cards, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're both in there now.
Oh, yeah. We're going to fall victim sooner or later. You know, it's fine. It's all fine. Except for that we might be robbed, but, you know, happens to the best of us.
Hopefully not.
Well, that's fair. Oh, gosh. I will say one thing. The eBay mobile, the eBay website breaks all the time. I don't know why. On the Mac, maybe it's a Safari thing. I don't know. But, you know, maybe it's a feature. Maybe that it's trying to save me from myself. But the site just stops working. Like, you won't be able to click on anything. The pictures don't load. And you have to, like, refresh the website, like, 10 times before anything works. Maybe it is trying to save me.
That's never happened to me. I feel like maybe you go on there so much that it thinks you're, like, a bot or something. And then it's, like, trying to throttle you.
That's probably true. That is probably true. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know what we haven't done is we haven't talked about the title of the episode, which is this a tech drought?
Well, it's a...
I guess today's episode is evidence in the affirmative.
Yes. This episode is also a drought of discussion on the titular topic, so we could fix that at least. Oh.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a weird spot, right? Everyone is saying essentially nothing coming really before WWDC. I think Gurman said that MacBook Airs might come out in April, which would be odd.
Would that MacBook Air, like the 15-inch MacBook Air?
Supposedly. I don't believe that, personally.
Yeah, wait, the MacBook Airs have the M2 already, right?
Right, so if there were to be new MacBook Airs, it would either be like a 15-inch MacBook Air with an M2 chip, which is like, there's no way that's going to happen. It would be 10 months after the M2 came out. There's no way they would do that. So then it makes you think, okay, well, it's got to be M3. So, do we think that Apple is going to reveal the M3 chip? I mean, at that point, they would have to do a full-on event in April. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, because, like, M2 got event time, right, at some event. And that was, like, a smaller change than M3 is supposed... M3 is supposed to be, like, the architecture change. What was it, like, 3 nanometer, right?
Yeah. And I, so honestly, I could see there being an April event. I mean, they did one in 2021. That's when we got the M1 iPad and iMac. I feel like spring events are becoming more and more common. So I don't know. I think we might have mentioned this actually on the show previously. Like, if we're talking about an M3 chip, the new VR headset, and a Mac Pro, that's too much for WWDC. So maybe it would make sense to have the M3 chip come out in the MacBook Pro, and then iPad, MacBook Air, MacBook Air 15, get refreshed iPads. Maybe I think we've heard some like new feature or redesign or a new screen type or something like that. That to me sounds like enough for an April event.
Yeah, and I feel like it would be cool to see, like, it would be great to have, like, more events, like, sort of spread some of the things out a little bit, maybe. Or just, you know, there's always, like, you know that the September event is going to be iPhone and Apple Watch. And then sometimes there's, like, an accessory, HomePod or something in there. And then a month later is October, and there's some kind of Mac, you know, sort of event going in there. And then there was one year that we also got a December event, right? Or was that a press release? But there was like, what was that, 2020?
Oh, yeah, yeah, AirPods Max.
Okay, and that was a press release. So there's like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that gets, and I guess, you know, maybe it's like a holiday season kind of thing, or it's like the cycle that they're on. But I just feel like we have sometimes, you know, like right now we're feeling it a little bit of a tech drought. And then there's sometimes where there's like so much, it's like the iPhones come out, and by the time you've recovered from that, it's already time for like new Macs or something. I feel like Apple could stand to spread them out. And now we're in a position too where there's like all these different, you know, with the Macs being on Apple Silicon, Apple has more control over the, you know, timeline and the refresh cycle of that, as opposed to just like grabbing the latest Intel chips and sticking them into their computers. And like, there are some computers that have, you know, been refreshed recently. There are some like the iMac that it's been a long time, and there are still some that we're waiting for, like a bigger iMac. I feel like Apple could really spread some, you know, spread their things out a little bit more, and you know, help, you know, bring us a little rain here in these tech droughts.
I definitely agree. I mean, I think there's reasons to sort of put everything towards the end of the year from like a... Okay, think about it this way. At the end of the year, almost everyone has time off for Christmas, New Year's. You know, December, I feel like, is not a huge month of work. And then January, people get like back into it. So like on a cyclical basis, you have to imagine that January, people, you know, are getting back to work and ramping up again. February, you're prepping. By March, that's probably the earliest of any given moment that you can be like, okay, we've finished our product, it's in production, we are, you know, it's being manufactured, because Chinese New Year interferes with manufacturing in late January. Almost everything in China completely stops at the end of January. So from, there's like a 2 month period in December and January where no one's really on full steam ahead. And so when you push that back into now, like everyone's getting back and up and ready in February, March is basically the earliest that Apple can ever really have an event. Except for this year, when they kind of had an event in January, but that's clearly because all of that stuff was supposed to be last year and it was just pushed really late. So like, you know, March is probably the earliest. Then you get to June. I feel like the summer's kind of wasted, though, to your point.
Yeah, I feel like we get, you know, okay, totally fine. December, January, you know, people taking, you know, the workers or, you know, Apple employees are taking time off, and, you know, other people are doing their vacations and whatever. That's totally fine. You know, February, March. Okay, cool. So let's say we get an event, you know, you get an event in March or April. You know, then we get WWDC in the beginning of June. And then it's like, you know, June, July, August. It's like a pretty long time. I feel like they could sprinkle a little bit, you know, somewhere in there. It doesn't have to be anything super exciting. It could just be some refreshes, but sprinkle a little something in there, give us something to do. And then, you know, September comes around, and then, you know, I guess October they're going to do another event. And someone pointed out in the chat that what I was thinking of, there was like a September, October, November, right? There was 1 year where they did September, October, November events. And that was only 1 year, I think. But that was like a pretty crazy year.
That was 2020, if I remember correctly. I think that was when... Because they pushed the iPhone to October. And then we had the Apple Silicon event in November.
Yeah, that was a pretty... That was a big year. That was definitely not a normal year for Apple, but I do feel like they could spread some things out a little bit more. Who knows? Maybe the headset. You know what? If they launch the headset and that becomes something, even if they don't refresh it every year, you know, maybe their July event every other year is the headset event, or, you know, I don't know. They could do something like that.
Oh, dude, I didn't even think about that, but you're right. Like the headset, you know, we have these annual cycles, right? There's always a couple of Macs, pretty much the entire lineup in terms of like the main stuff has to get updated at some point. The Apple Watch and the iPhone are basically tied together in September. iPads, you can kind of sprinkle them in wherever, but there's almost always an iPad or multiple iPads in any given year. And now we're adding this new category of the headset. And I'm very curious to see how that comes in. Like, does that get shared time with Apple Watch and iPhone in September? I wonder.
I guess it could. I feel like when they announce it for the first time, I feel like it's got to be at Dub Dub. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I feel like that makes a lot of sense to me. It's a new platform. I feel like it makes sense to go there. And they're going to need a lot of time. They're going to want to have a lot of time. Like, you know, when Apple Silicon launched, they basically had a dedicated event for Apple Silicon to explain, you know, all the new architecture and the new philosophy, and then show off a couple of products that it was going to go into. I feel like for the headset, it's like a whole new thing. They got to have maybe not a dedicated event, but they got to spend a lot of time talking about this thing and showing off all the different ways that it can be useful. But then after that, you know, yeah, they could fold it into an existing event. They could make the events longer. The Apple events are, you know, pretty short and sweet, you know, given the new format that they've been using for the past few years. But
yeah,
or they could do a separate event. I don't know.
I'm really glad you brought this up, Noah, because this is not even something that I'd considered. But I mean, you're definitely right about WWDC. I think that's no question. That is the best time to introduce a new product like this, because I mean, as great as all of the hardware and like as much thought as Apple has undoubtedly put into that product, the only real way that it works is when developers get on board and make their software and all of the third-party stuff that you would want work on it. That was one of the big problems with the Apple Watch initially, was it didn't do all that much. And I would argue that you could chalk that up to it being launched in the fall, revealed in the fall, sent to developers over that dreaded December-January break that we talked about earlier, and then came out in the spring of 2014. Or 15.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, from the whole point of like WWDC, right? Like, we all tune in and watch the keynote. That's sort of the big thing and the big like public facing thing. There's like the State of the Union, State of the Platform address thing that they do after that. I feel like a lot of people don't tune in for that. But then, you know, the whole thing about WWDC is that it's like a few days of like these, you know, sessions or like varying degrees of interactivity. But there's like these sort of interactive sessions where they'll explain, they'll say like, you know, they announce all these new technologies. Oh, iOS 16, they're bringing live activities. I think that was one of the things, right? And then, or they're bringing like the...
I think you're right.
Or it was the one before, whatever. Like live activities or like the notch. Like, how do you do the notch? So like they announce all these new things. And then the next few days, there are all these sessions explaining to developers, like, here's all the new things we just announced and here's how you use them. And they have all these sample projects set up and they walk through the code and they say, this is how you integrate. This is how you create, you know, a notch thing to interact with the notch and whatever. And so when they're announcing this headset, there's going to be a whole new set of, you know, APIs, a whole new framework. However, we're going to interact with this thing. We don't know what that's going to look like, but there's going to be a whole thing there. And so there's going to need to be a lot of these sessions to explain to developers, like, here's the new toolkit, here's the philosophy of how you write software for this app or for this product, how the software is supposed to work, example projects, so on and so forth. And that's, it really makes sense to do that at WWDC, I think.
They're already there for that exact purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that, do you know what that means, Noah?
Are you thinking this year?
I think this is the year. I mean, the rumors have been pointing to 2023 for a while. I think I remember back in 2020, people were saying it's going to be 2023 for the headset. And I was like, that's so far away. And then 3 years happened, and now here we are. And WWDC is just about the best place to do an announcement like that. Like, obviously, they've done hardware reveals before, but all of the real big ones that happen at WWDC happen there because it's a developer-focused event. It's not a coincidence that Apple launches stuff like Apple Silicon at an event like that. And I would even argue that, well, while we might see the reveal of the VR headset, I don't think it's going to ship for a while, possibly even this year. Because, I mean, think about Apple Silicon, right? Apple Silicon has Rosetta, which is designed to give you a transition for existing applications. And there's universal binaries in Xcode. You can fairly easily adapt programs from Intel to Apple Silicon. But they still had that pretty long DTK period with the DTK that I made a video about from June until November before they started shipping. This headset, it's a different game, right? That was adaptation. This is completely new form factor. So these are all going to have to be likely ground up applications, or at least completely reworked.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the headset doesn't launch for a while. I agree that there needs to be time for the third parties to work on. And for all we know, you know, there could be some third parties that, like, already have some sort of a pre-production headset and, you know, they have NDAs and whatever. Like, we don't know that, obviously. But, like,
I'm sure they do.
But it's still going to be, you know, if they announce it, it's not going to be, like, you know, available now or available soon. I think we said this in a previous episode. Yeah. I don't think that they would even commit to a firm date. I think they would say available late 2023 or available 2024 and not even commit to a firm date. That's my theory.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Apple Silicon, they did the same thing. If I recall, they said, like, coming this fall. They love to say that.
Yeah.
And it's always not fall, you know. They say this fall, you think, oh, September, October. Most of the time, it's like the second week of December. That's what they did with Mac Pros.
Yeah. So, you know, they play with the timeline. But I think it would be really cool to see it announced and to know, like, to learn more of the details about it and, like, know that it's something that exists. Like, we all kind of, like, we've heard theories about it for years, but, like, to actually have it announced and to have, like, a lot of questions, because we have a lot of questions about it, to have some of those questions be answered, like, that'd be really cool. And, you know, the rumors were saying March event for this for a while, and then it sounded like that kind of went away. But if the rumors were saying a March event, then theoretically, you know, it could be a dub thing. Like, people thought that it was ready for the March event, and then maybe for some reason it wasn't. You know, maybe it'll be ready for a dub. Give them a couple more months.
That's a very good point. And I did want to address that someone here is saying, you know, why have we not seen any leaks of the VR headset if it's almost ready? I don't think it's coming for a while. And what Noah and I are basically saying is that we agree with you. And there's multiple reasons as to why Apple would do something like this. How, and I guess the big question there is, how is so much of this a secret? How do we not have any idea what this thing is going to look like? The big reason is because Apple tends to, for many reasons, not, you know, start selling big stuff like this right as soon as it's available. Apple Silicon, Apple Watch, all of that stuff had at least 6 months. And that's partially because these things aren't ready, partially because they are, you know, trying to get developers to build out the applications for a smoother rollout, and partially because it's a lot easier to keep something secret if it's 6 months from going on sale, because typically it's not being produced yet, which is a lot easier to keep secret. In Apple's really early stages of prototyping, we don't see leaks about them. Like, you have to remember all of the leaks that we have seen. Those tend to be for fairly recognizable things. iPhones, Apple Watches, even MacBooks to some extent. Like, we saw the leak of the MacBook Pro and the design thereof leaked a little bit before it launched. But that's because that design was basically finalized and they were doing production validation testing. We only really get these public leaks in the PVT stage because that's when the scale is such that there are enough people that aren't under these really strict close NDAs that it can actually be leaked. When something is, you know, early enough, like AirPower or the Apple Watch pre-2015 or the iPhone before it was revealed, like all of these things are so tight-knit that there is a very small pool of people that have access to that information, which makes leaking harder because it's a lot easier to trace. So that's basically a long way of saying that the reason why we haven't seen leaks is probably not an indication that it's a long way off, but that it is still in the stage that it can be kept secret because that usual production ramp up, which is where we see all the leaks, isn't going to happen until after it's already been announced.
Yeah, exactly. So we definitely agree. You know, when you say it's not coming anytime soon, I think that was not coming for a while. Yeah, it's not coming out for a while, but it definitely, you know, Apple wants to announce it before all of this stuff happens so that it doesn't get leaked because, exactly like you said, these things get leaked, you know, in the production phase because there's a lot more people and they're not bound by the strict NDAs, like you said. And so that's, you know, a good reason to think that Apple might announce it because, you know, if they have this thing that they're getting ready for, you know, they got to ramp up production. This is like a new product. It's going to be some, you know, like a new product line. Like assembly process or whatever, like different parts, like mm-hmm. whatever the screens are. We heard rumors about like crazy high density screens. There's like all this stuff. So they're going to want to get, you know, they're going to need some lead time between the announcement and when they, you know, ship them, but they got to announce them before they can really start ramping up the production. So that's why it might be, you know, a good reason to hope that they will announce them, you know, relatively soon.
Dude, I think it's going to happen. I really do.
I mean, we were talking here for like a month about like there's going to be a March event and they're going to announce the headset in the March event. And we were so excited about that. And now, you know, obviously it seems like that's not going to happen. But like whatever leaks or whatever information or insights that people drew that led that to be a theory, a strong theory that a lot of people believed, there's no reason to believe, you know, maybe it didn't work out now, but, you know, in a couple months from now. Because in order to get to that level of the theory that everyone's talking about it, there's got to be some credible evidence that they're getting ready to launch this thing. And maybe the timeline was wrong. Maybe they had to push it back. But, like, they're getting ready to launch it, theoretically. So, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll actually see it get launched.
Yeah. No, I think it's... I'm looking it up now, and as of 2 days ago, there were further updates. I think Ming-Chi Kuo has been the one who spearheaded this a lot, and they basically said, I'll read the tweet here. This is from January, by the way, so keep that in mind. Apple's mixed reality headset development is behind schedule due to issues with mechanical component drop testing and the availability of software development tools, meaning that mass shipment of this device may postpone from the original Q2 2023 to the end of Q2 or Q3 2023. Now, notice that typically when we've heard about these delays, they tend to be vague, right? They tend to say like, okay, this isn't going to ship for a while. Or they tended to even be referring to announcements. Ming-Chi Kuo there is talking about shipments. And honestly, Q2 2023 is earlier than I thought would be realistic. So if he's saying that even with these delays, we're talking about Q3, I would say that is still probably earlier than it would be with what we talked about. I would not be surprised if we don't see it until 2024 even, but I think it's very likely that we do get the reveal this year.
Yeah, they're definitely going to want time on this one to between the reveal and the launch. They'll want a good amount of time, and you know, we want to see it. We want to know what the future of Apple is. So they gotta do it.
This could be an iPhone moment.
It certainly could be. It could be. That was the big thing. This could be. There was the whole thing about like the iPhone launched, and you know, it sort of competed with the iPod, right? And it mm-hmm. sort of cannibalized the iPod market. But Apple let that happen. They let the iPod market die, so that the iPhone could succeed. And look at how big it is now. And theoretically, you know, sometime down the line, the headset could potentially be, you know, that next thing. If we all believe that people are going to be wearing like augmented reality equipment of some sort, and like that, if we believe that that's going to be the future, then this would be, you know, whether you believe that or not is up to you. But if you do believe it, mm-hmm. then this would be, you know, another iPhone moment in that same way.
Dude, that would be so exciting. Oh, I cannot wait. But unfortunately, I have to. And unfortunately, you guys don't have to wait for me to announce the ending of this podcast episode. We gave you guys a couple bonus minutes here to make up for Noah's terrible mistake.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That was on me.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good that you're taking responsibility. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've reflected on it throughout the course of this episode. I use those bonus minutes to reflect on it, and I'll take responsibility.
Yeah, that's very grown up of you. And honestly, it's been an honor, Noah, to podcast co-host with you.
Thank you. The pleasure has been all yours.
Unfortunately, the pleasure of ending this episode belongs to no one, but I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We'll see you next week, and have a great night.
Take care.